Welcome to the Everyday Hotel. You'll be on the second floor and your other room will be on the 14th.
Wait, we asked for connecting rooms? These are 12 floors apart.
We tried, ma'am, but technically they're only 11 floors apart. We don't have a 13th floor.
We can't be 11 floors away from our kids.
I don't see a problem.
Stuart!
When you want separate rooms, but not that separate, it matters where you stay. Only Hilton offers confirmed connecting rooms at the time of booking. Hilton, for the stay.
Hi, it's Idris Elba here with Booking.com, and I wrote this poem about summer because I love summer. In summer, we do things to feed the soul, and Booking.com knows just how we roll. We love to swim and fish and barbecue. We love to read and nap and have a few. With cabins, resorts, yurts, and vacation homes, it's such a breeze to book. Where shall we roam? I know it needs some work, but thanks for listening. Find your perfect place to stay. Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
Welcome, welcome. We're back for Cannabis Hour. The Benzinga Cannabis Hour is back. I'm Patrick Lane.
And I'm Jason Rasnick here for this Thursday. I think we took a week off because we had the big cannabis event a week ago. Is that right, Patrick?
We did. June 1st. We had about 3,000 people join us virtually for that conference. We were actually going to be in Toronto June 1st and 2nd for a live event. Obviously, that didn't happen. Thank you, our good friend COVID-19. And it's kind of cool. I mean, honestly, it was great to be able to expand the audience, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, we brought a lot of new people in that would never come to our event for whatever and travel, and to have that many people come, I thought was tremendous. And then to get the people that we got in the room and the networking and the companies that were raising money. I mean, some people were in the YouTube and watched it, but the people that went and paid and were in the room to network, make deals, make connections, I've heard have got a tremendous value out of it. So that was always our biggest concern, because at our physical events, I know, or I think we're the best at getting people to meet each other and make connections.
For sure.
So how do we do that digitally? And we did our best. You know, the people who were just watching on YouTube, they definitely got value, but I think the people that got to network, I mean, I talked to Al Harrington 2 days ago, and he was talking about people he met in our networking thing and like real deals that are happening. And his company's like raised already $13 million. So it's powerful. We're going to do another one. And again, like we say, email us at events@Benzinga if you ever, you know, have further questions about that stuff.
That's right. And we're not slowing down. I know we don't have another big conference until August 18th, focused on the Michigan market. But in the meantime, we're still going to move forward with our virtual deal rooms, right? We've got one on June 30th, another one on July 22nd. So not slowing down over here. Can we just take a second and pause and take note of the fact that we're both wearing brightly colored polo shirts? Look at this. It's not just sparkling personality over here, you guys. This is wardrobe coordination.
It is. I mean, this is, I texted you last night. And right. Then you're like, wear this, Jason. So I put it on. And
you're trying to act like the cool tech CEO, though, with the hoodie over it.
Oh, that is funny. I just put that on like 15 minutes ago. I was sitting in this room and I'm like, yeah. So then one more thing I want to talk about before we get started, as people are joining the room and they're tweeting out that we're going live now. We launched in beta, soft launch on about 5 days ago. Cannabis.benzinga.com, which is a cannabis directory. Think of it as like Crunchbase for cannabis. We're having a lot of issues where you don't know who owns which dispensaries, how many dispensaries a brand owns, getting in touch with them. So this is not like a directory like Weed Maps. It's more of a directory like a Crunchbase for cannabis. There's a lot more stuff that will be added, but you can see the stock price, you can see the press releases, you can see the company's news, you can see relevant tweets about them. And if you want to claim your profile or add stuff to it so you can be seen by our 6 million visitors to Benzinga monthly, just email directory@benzinga.com. Again, that's directory@benzinga.com. And Shelby, if you can put that in the room, the chat room, but the link to it is cannabis.benzinga.com. Feel free to send us feedback, but we're going to be putting a lot more stuff into it and spending a lot more time on it to make it useful for anyone that wants to look up information, et cetera.
Yeah, I think another cool thing about this, you guys, is that it's not just another directory, right? There's a lot of directories out there. I think the amount of data and also news that will be visible on some of these pages is going to be really cool and certainly a bit different than what you see out there. So
yep.
Let's get rolling here. Our first guest is George Sadler, CEO and co-founder of Platinum Vape. And while we get George queued up here, I'll tell you a little bit. George actually co-founded this with his son, Cody Sadler. So this is a father and son business. Really cool. I always love to see that. I have a feeling Jason's going to replace me with his son at some point, or daughter, for that matter. I'm just waiting for the day. But I guess it's less than a decade that Platinum Vape has been around, and they've built this into a $70 million cannabis company across California and Michigan. So pretty darn cool in terms of what we're seeing there. And George, welcome,
man. Hey. I was listening to you guys talk earlier about your shirt, so.
Dude, you got the memo.
I had to run to my office really quick, get out of my white shirt. I was like, man, this isn't going to work if I'm sitting here in a white shirt.
Listen, we would have kicked you off, man. I'm really glad that you changed. Look at your setup. Look at your setup. That is awesome. Where are you?
We're in San Diego right now. And this is our actual podcast room. So we do a weekly podcast as well.
Very cool.
And we're having fun with that. Our podcast is basically like, what is cannabis doing for you?
Okay. That's cool, man. So tell us a little bit more about that. What do you guys talk about and sort of who's your audience over there?
You know, the audience is pretty diverse, but the concept is now we're in this position where cannabis it's become pretty mainstream. And if you've been in this industry long enough, you'll know we've really made some leaps and bounds and having new people into the industry. So the premise is what is cannabis doing for you? So we have people that come from all walks of life now that are entering into this industry. And I'm really curious, and I think a lot of people are curious, like, how did you get into cannabis? Because, unless you were, back in the day, you weren't born into cannabis. And now we have some great leaders, some great industry leaders, corporate leaders that are making these transitions from big, big corporation into cannabis. And it's proven to be really interesting. And then we do a lot of stuff with testing facilities and just, everyday Joe.
So, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a good segue. So, man, how did you get into this? How did you and your son found this company?
I think you've got that part of it. But yeah, it actually was my son came into my office, and it's a long story, but to kind of summarize, I was helping my father wind up his business after almost 40 years, and my son came into the office and he said, "Hey, have you ever thought about growing cannabis?" And I'm like, "After 4 years of school, this is where we're at, and that was it. So I said, if you're going to do this, you need to do it as legal as possible. And that was 2011 actually. And, so we took literally, I know the story's out there and it's the truth. We took, we used to ride motorcycles and, we took the motorcycles, we sold them and we built our first grow in the garage and, six lights in 2011. And, we've just fast forwarded that. And I give all the credit, as always, if you hear any of these interviews, to my son, because he's the guy that saves the money. I'm the one that spends it. And, we are self-funded. We've never taken a dime from anybody. We don't live lavish lifestyles. I think that's a big key. And we literally reinvest everything back into this company. And for us, that's what's proven to be a big point for us.
When you started it, did you guys know what you were looking to do? Like, was it like, hey, let's just do this part of the business? Or how did you look at it? Were you like, hey, should we be testing?
Yeah, so when we started it, once again, we filed a corporation before we ever even started to grow, which was Nature's Leaf Incorporated.
Right.
We knew that we were going to have to do all the tax and whatnot, but we had no idea. And the funny thing is once we finished our first grow harvest, we didn't know what we were going to do with it. I wasn't in cannabis. And so we thought, you know, once you have marijuana, you just sell it. Everybody wants, you know, no, it wasn't that easy. And as we started, there wasn't a lot of brick and mortar because at that time they were closing everything down. So there was a lot of delivery services and we could not get rid of, we couldn't get rid of it. People thought we were cops. You call them. It was really difficult. So we started delivery service and that's how we actually got rid of our first harvest. And from there we went, we found the holes in the delivery service was just being reliable and, you know, kind of the image of the industry at that time. And, you know, you had a, had a little weed, you're going to hop in your car and sell it. We just took it on the business level. And within 6 months we were doing 80 to 100 deliveries a day. We were in a bigger office and then we went large scale on the cultivation as well.
So wait, this on the delivery thing, you said like you started doing that. Did you go through a whole process of regulations and how delivery works or did you just, start working with Weed Maps or how did you guys?
Yeah. So no, I'm actually, you know, at that time, 2011, early 2012, there was no regulation. So, you know, we just did our best to keep our heads down and move on. But yeah, Weed Maps was the only go-to at that time.
Yeah. And so then you just kept going with it. And that was a big part of your business at that first.
That was, there's a lot of things that segue off of that in how we became where we are and who we are today. And the bigger part of that was understanding the needs, you know, and once again, it segues into a lot of things for us because that's what takes us into our, you know, charity foundations and whatnot. And it's what formed us as the people that we are in the industry as understanding the need for cannabis on all levels. And when you're delivering to vets and you're delivering to people that are really using this medicinally, it really changed our life. And that literally was what kept our drive going. I mean, I've been robbed at gunpoint. I've been robbed by knife. And I mean,
who the hell would want to rob you at gunpoint? Look at you.
I don't know. I mean,
that is insane, man.
We've seen a lot of horrible stuff, but I can tell you, I mean, and if you know about our company and having a huge amount of vets that work for us and we partner with HVGC, another great company up and coming and a huge give back program. That was a changing point for us in the cannabis industry and it came on early. So I'm super proud that, you know, myself and my son were a part of that because honestly, without that delivery service and being able to be one-on-one with people using cannabis really truly medicinally, I don't know that we would have gotten out of that frame of thought of money. And
let's jump into that for a second, man. It strikes me that you and our next guest, Sean Cradle, should chat, right, from Pineapple, because there's a lot you guys have in common. He's a vet. I mean, just a ton of stuff in common there. But when it comes to you guys being sort of a different breed of company and a different breed of executives in this space, right? I find that super refreshing. And I'd love for you to tell me just a little bit about why self-funded? Why not take money to scale? How do you scale being self-funded? You know, so, and what does that do? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think the biggest thing is we didn't understand any other way. We've known and we understood right off the bat that the only way to grow was to have capital. And at that time, the only capital that we had was what we made, literally from the start to where we're at today. And in doing that, it's been tough on my son because I want a Lamborghini. I want a private jet. You know, I mean, I want all these things. But you know, all kidding aside, he's understood this really well. And obviously we both have that we don't live a lavish lifestyle. We don't have, you know, a lot of the things that a lot of executives have in the cannabis industry. And we have had some offers for capital and there were a couple that were, you know, pretty interesting. We had a closeout offer of, you know, 50 million cash done. You guys walk out and we chose not to go that route. And why? Well, because this is a family business. My youngest son and daughter run Michigan. You know, we're launched. Oklahoma's just going crazy. I just got a huge thing from Oklahoma 2 minutes ago. And then we're launching in Arizona and then Nevada shortly thereafter. But going back to the self-funding, it truly is easy for us because we don't have the extensions out there of owing people and owing on any notes. And I think this is a big thing. If you're looking at the industry and where it's at now and what's going on, you know, it doesn't take much. If you guys, I mean, you guys know it's the notes are being called due. A lot of people have a lot of extended out there and there's no money in it. This big corp stuff right now, it's in the forming side of it. And we're just not involved on that. And once again, if you look at what's going on, we pay attention to everybody that's out there. And then there's a lot of big, and I'm not saying bad corporations. There's great people in this industry. The money, getting $50, $60, $100 million, it just doesn't work right now. I don't know. Put those numbers together. It just doesn't work.
So have you had other home runs before this?
As far as
businesses that you sold?
Yeah, I had a flooring company that I had for almost 17 years, and I was in the Pacific Northwest and California. And I was, you know, I was doing about $18 million a year, which I felt was, I mean, at the age of 26, 27 was pretty good. And I sold one side of that. And then I had a drive-through coffee business.
Well, I guess I'm just wondering, like, you had an offer for $50 million cash. Yeah. Most people, if they didn't have previous exits and didn't have a bunch of money that they're okay for life, would potentially take
they
that
would have taken it. Yeah,
sure. That's why I was asking if you sold, you know, anything prior.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I did, but nothing that was huge. I made some transitions through, you know, I mean, divorce. It's expensive. Yes. But you know, I give the offer to, you know, my son is the one that, you know, at any time, if he's feeling that pressure and wants to sell.
And how old's your son?
He's 29.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we've had a couple of situations where we've sat back and, you know, and been in situations where, you know, through situations of testing and whatever else, where we've lost a fair chunk of money and we've had offers in front of us and we just kind of said, you know, what are our options? I'm a young guy. What am I going to do after this? And we have so much fun in this industry.
I bet.
And we have such a long ways to go that it's senseless right now for, to me, anybody to, if you're doing anything in the industry, we're just getting started. This is.
Yep. No, I get it. Before my partner in crime, Patrick, takes over and asks a couple more business questions, I have one more question about like how you built this company from scratch. Like Patrick said, you haven't raised funding. What's like a typical day look for you and your son? It doesn't have to be today, but it could be like the first year of your business. Well, how many hours are you guys put in? What time do you get up? Like, what do you guys, are you calling Oklahoma to get licenses? Like, what is a typical day? Is it mostly phone calls? I'm asking the question because people always ask me after these interviews, I wonder how that guy did this. Even if they're not in this industry, they might be in another industry, but just hearing the truth behind the messiness to make this happen. Kind of like what Rocky did when he created the movie Rocky and got it, and he was able to act in it and they tell the story later. I kind of want to hear it now.
So, yeah, I mean, a typical day for us, we work our ass off. But then we also have, I think the better side for me is to be able to get my son, which, you know, he has two young kids, and to understand that you have to have your time. This is because it'll consume your whole life. A typical day, I'm in the office usually 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Cody usually arrives just a little before 8, and we do, you know, up until just recently, obviously with everything that's going on, we've spent a lot of time on planes. A lot of time traveling back and forth, you know, originally from Michigan. So my daughter and son, Nathan and Maddie, they live in Michigan. They run the Michigan side of it. So usually there's a lot of traveling that's going on. So we try to, you know, keep that as low as possible. But I mean, a typical day is this. I mean, literally we're in the office. It's a ton of phone calls, a ton of stuff going on. As anybody knows, as you're expanding and things that are going on, it's, you know, timeline is crucial. And I think that's the bigger side for us, is that we don't have to take any decisions to a board. We don't have to, you know, to make our decisions. It's boggling to some companies, because just like in Arizona, I mean, we're doing a deal with Harvest out there, and you know, we went out, met for a day, and immediately just made that transition and made the commitments. And so we move forward, but a lot of time, it's you guys know, man, it's a lot of work, no matter how you look at this. And people think that you get in this industry and it's just money is raining behind you, and it's not. It's the hardest job I've ever had in my life, but I wouldn't give it up for anything.
Yeah, and people think like, yeah, you just do what everyone else does, and if you're thinking this is a 9-to-5, it's the opposite. And
yeah, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, and what you built, I mean, any business, I mean, from Amazon to whatever, I mean,
it is.
There's no excuse. There's no replacement for hard work. And no. You saying you're getting in at 5:36 in the morning, right there. If like we at Benzinga, we have like 70 people, but the people that get up and get it going at 5:36, just percentages are more successful, because you get started early and maybe you finish early, but you're more focused. There's less distractions. I loved hearing that. And
I mean, I can tell you, you guys know this, obviously. You know, myself and my son, we're literally texting. I mean, sometimes 3-4 o'clock, anytime something comes across 3-5 o'clock in the morning, we're nonstop back and forth. And we live in a little 5-house subdivision, just, you know, small houses, but we're 2 houses apart from each other. So we're right there. We work out every day together in a gym. Wow. In his garage. But we are constantly communicating nonstop, and the hours, you guys know the hours, you know, just because you leave the office doesn't mean you're not working.
No, I'm working from home, man. I'm working more than ever.
See what I mean?
Yeah. It's the name of the game right now. Well, listen, yeah. we're about at time, man, but I just one more quick question for you. I just want to give you a chance to talk about the charity.
Oh, the React Foundation. Yeah. So big part of us, actually, we get a lot of rewards out of that, more so because of what we've done in the past. And that's why, you know, we've continuously given. Our concept when we had stores, you know, was that the recreational users were there to provide for us to give back to the people that really needed it on the medicinal side of it. And so once we got into a position where we could, actually, and my son is the one that came up with the React Foundation, we were still doing our giveaways, but he said, let's take this to the next level. So we started the React Foundation, and we pinpoint charities that that go with each one of our charities that we have in the React, and we donate. And so kind of cool that, you know, I think we're 9 months in as of right now, and we have donated just over $160,000.
Wow.
Good for you.
Directly from the React Foundation. And I mean, I could not be more proud of that foundation, the team that's behind it, and you know, just the things that it does. And I have to say, there's a few out there. Wags for Walks is a huge one for us. We're dog lovers here. Dogs are in our office all day long. And Shelter to Soldier is another big one that, you know, takes, you know, which is amazing. If you go on our podcast or go onto our site, you'll see one of our dogs, Eddie. We have 3 more that we're supporting, but Shelter to Soldier takes a dog from a shelter, you know, that is probably going to be euthanized. They take that dog, they train it 12 to 18 months on training, fully trained as a support. They pair it up with a vet, that is in need. It's all done, you know, by our donation and their work into it. And now you have a dog from a shelter and a soldier that comes back, you know, and has that need for that companion, for that dog. And that's probably one of the biggest things right now for us, that we're having so much fun with that. So, you know, once again, I mean, you can look on our site and whatnot, and you'll follow Eddie. We just did a big update on him, and we've got a few more coming.
Which URL, what site do they go to if they want to learn more?
You can go to houseofplatinum.com, and you'll find everything. Everything will link out from there.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
Very cool, George. Thanks for joining us, man. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it.
Next time we'll do it longer, but you have a great story. Congrats on all the success of your company. Pretty awesome.
Thanks. If you guys need anything, you know where to reach us.
Yes, we'll do. Sir. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, man, that's cool, isn't it? It's always refreshing to hear a different story, right? And that they're clearly very different. They sold motorcycles and completely self-funded. What other company can say that?
I know. And most people are, you know, you have to keep raising money, and they self-funded serious sized business. And the reason I, you know, keyed in on, you know, what he was saying with like, you know, his day in life, because like $50 million acquisition price, I had to know, you know, he had money from before and doing it with his son, working out with his son. That's just an awesome story. There should almost be like a show that's like, you know, father, son. I remember that commercial in Michigan was father. There's a song like father, son, we construction business, and like father, son businesses are kind of, are interesting. So
absolutely, man.
Like there should, I mean, that's even the dynamics. And I mean, you can't always agree on things. So, I mean, he's getting in at 5:36, son's not coming till 8. Maybe he's like, hey, where are you? I've been here for 2 hours. Like, come on, you know, stop with your two kids, you know, let them go. I don't know. So
fend for themselves, I guess.
Fend for themselves. Get dressed for themselves. Go. Exactly.
There you go. Well, listen, let's keep this moving. While we get our next guest, I'm excited about this. Sean Cradle, CEO of Pineapple Express. This guy is awesome. He's a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, as I alluded to earlier. Years of military, corporate, entrepreneurial experience, and he's been all over, right? Puerto Rico, Connecticut. He goes back and forth between LA and Miami. And Pineapple, they're growing so rapidly right now. We're going to ask him about, you know, obviously delivery and all of that during COVID, which has been huge. So as we get Sean queued up here, I think it's a really cool time for us to talk about everything that's happening in the world, you know, especially with the protests and the Black Lives Matter movement. I think it's really important for, you know, people in this. Hey, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, I was just talking about the protests and the movement. And as we get you queued up right now, I just wanted to take a second to say that obviously we at Benzinga, you know, support, you know, equality and diversity, and we always want to lift those stories up, those executives up. And I think more importantly than that, you know, we want to see more of that. We want to see more success stories like yours, Sean. I'm excited for the folks here to learn more about Pineapple, man. And I want to give you just a couple of minutes to riff and tell us about the company.
Yeah, man. Thanks, man. And it's good to see you guys. You know, Patrick, we've grown a short love for each other, right?
Love is exactly the way I would describe it too.
Hey, you're taking my Patrick away. I feel left out.
I
want to join it, Sean. I want to be part of the threesome, the twosome here. Okay.
Whoa.
You know, Jason, we met in Miami just past March. But you know, this was at the end of the second day. So you were a little sauced up. I don't know if you remember me.
I don't know about
this guy. No.
I do remember you, but we didn't talk for that long. It was like
it was a brief minute there. Javier introduced me to you for a hot minute.
We should have went golfing or something. I don't know. That could have been fun.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, guys, and
our pleasure.
I really appreciate you know what you guys are doing. As I've talked to. Between Javi and Patrick and Elliot, how much, you know, we respect you guys. I think you guys are doing amazing work for the industry and giving it more validation that this is a true industry, you know. But Pineapple Inc. is the umbrella. So our assets are Pineapple Express, which is our California delivery service. Our main area is the greater Los Angeles area. So we developed a sort of logistics that pretty expensive, but we're able to actually reach anyone under 2 hours in most cases throughout the greater Los Angeles area. So and also we have by appointment schedules as well. So if you you know, you want to schedule something for next day, we can schedule up to 5 days in advance in a 2-hour window. It's better than the cable company, to be honest with you. So you're happy to see us come. So we've developed that. We've been running this for, we soft launched actually out of our Palm Springs hub, just to test it out. We were self-funded as well up until the end of last year. So we poured a lot of money into developing, making sure we rolled out the right way. I'm a big stickler for process and protocol, obviously from my background. So we spent a little more money making sure that I feel comfortable getting this right to roll out, and it paid off. Doing it in a small group and not launching out of our main hub in LA, we decided to launch out of our smaller hub in Palm Springs, and took those lessons and then, you know, adjusted those for our rollout. When we launched into LA, I believe it was around September of last year, and we've just hit it, you know, full blast. Pineapple Express is the bigger picture, so I want to come back to that in a second, but I want to move on a little bit to Pineapple Wellness, which is our nationwide delivery of hemp-derived CBD products, and that ranges from anything from I'm using the beard oil for the first time because I grew this thing during COVID. This is the first hair I had on my chin since before the Marine Corps, I think. So we have hair growth formula, aftershave lotions, we have bath bombs, Epsom salts, cat dog treats, sports recovery creams, night masks, you know, you name it. So it's all health and beauty and things like that. And then our THC, which is our premium in-house brand, so we carry everyone, you know, on our Pineapple Express trucks, but we have our THC is our in-house brand for ourselves. We actually own the trademark THC, which is very interesting because in December, the rapper Drake tried to trademark THC and he got denied because we own it. And it was like a little known secret that nobody really knows about because we've been kind of holding it to where we can roll out in a second phase. We didn't want to hit people, you know, with it now. We wanted to get the delivery service underway. We wanted to get our wellness line underway. And we've been slow playing THC, to be honest. But we do own the trademark for THC and Pineapple Express in both URLs, both .coms.
If
you go to THC.com right now, you'll get rerouted to Pineapple Express since we haven't developed
it's got to be huge.
It's exciting because it's a raw bit of clay we have. But the cool thing about, I mean, I guess him getting denied was that MarketWatch did an article about it, and they put us in there along with our ticker symbol since we are Pupco. So that was awesome, and that was a great month actually, because that was also we were in the investment guide to Fortune, and we were the only cannabis company listed in the 2020 guide. So we have a full spread there in my article and my piece there, and that was the second time in that was the second time in 2019 that we were in Fortune. So we might be in there again in September. I had an interview with them last month. So they've seen the evolution. Those folks are awesome over there as well. So we're building at, you know, every facet. Now for Pineapple Express, we've actually also landed, for those who are familiar with for the movie Friday, Debo, or way back in the day, as I knew him from the WWF, no holds barred, beating up on Hulk Hogan, Zeus.
There you go.
I remember.
Tiny Lister is our official spokesperson. I met him back in October, a few conversations, and we actually introduced him as our spokesperson at the MJ BizCon for whoever was attending that in Vegas. So I kind of made a beach cruiser and a Pineapple Express theme. So he rode around that and got us almost kicked out of there. but was a good showstopper. So that also led to us having a great, you know, during COVID, marketing period in this space is extremely difficult because you can't, you know, you got to tout the lines and you can't really poke the dragon so much and have a lot of fun with this. So, you know, and during COVID, it was a little more challenging. But, you know, I floated the idea. I said, hey, what if we just, you know, we're delivering during this time. What if we just have you deliver on your bike? And I thought he was going to shoot it down, but he's like, yeah, that's an awesome idea. Like, let's think about that. So obviously, you know, it's more of a gimmick because legally he cannot do that. He cannot hand over product, but it was more like a publisher's clearinghouse type of thing where it's a reenactment. So, you know,
wait, you mean that's not real?
Again?
You mean publisher's clearinghouse isn't real? Darn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Those are reenactments that you see. Yeah. I know.
I was waiting for mine.
But so we have basically what we did was we would have the driver make the actual delivery. They would enter a contest. And right now we have one going for Father's Day. Debo's going to deliver to a father on Father's Day. So if you go to pineappleexpress.com/Debo, D-E-B-O, you can enter to win if you're in the Los Angeles area. The way I've constructed these deliveries is we'll make the compliant delivery to the customer, so they would win, and other vendors would get involved and give away product, so they would get a goodie bag basically, and they would get that compliantly delivered by our delivery driver as a normal delivery, and then basically Debo would knock on the door with a bag of swag, and you know some autographs and stuff like that, and the client would be they would reenact the delivery. And we capture all that on video, and it made a big hit. So I did since 420, since April was the whole month with 420 for this year, we did it every Friday, and it was remarkable. One that we had was an actual unicorn, as we say in Cali. She was an actual medical license holder. She was not just she just didn't have a recommendation. So this was this is what really drove it home for us. This is what made it special, because this person, her normal dispensary was closed due to COVID, and they were not equipped to deliver, even though it was in curbside pickup, even though, you know, that was extended temporarily to brick and mortars. They just were not, her local dispensary just could not do it for the manpower or whatever reason. So she was actually saying that she was, looking at these, she has an autoimmune disorder, and she said, I'm in pain a lot, and I started looking at these bottles, these dusty bottles of painkillers, opioids, thinking that I was going to have to start using these again. But she saw this campaign, she entered the win, she won, and we delivered her RSO and you know all those things that those oils that she needed. And amongst other, you know, goody things from other vendors that supported this. And it was, you know, she cried. And I got to say, you know, I'm a Marine and all, but that stuff, you can't, you know, that's what makes all this worthwhile. You know, I couldn't help but get a little teary up there. And Debo, too, he had to walk away. So it was great because, you know, now, and she didn't know that we existed either. And that when COVID hit, we've already been doing this for a year. So we were primed to take on this task. We were ready to go. And so while others, you know, unfortunately didn't live up to that demand, we immediately, almost overnight, we had flash hirings of drivers. We had to buy about 10 Priuses in a week, you know, and, that's our delivery vehicles. We like to do our hybrids there and save as much as we can, especially here in LA. But we were able to onboard about 10 additional drivers in a matter of a couple of weeks in March. So our sales doubled and even tripled on some days. And suffice to say, it's steady even now. It's holding. I think the conversion will hold only because once people understand and realize who we are, that we carry basically everyone, every dispensary carries, and we can get to in under 2 hours, and there's no delivery fee, and we're either at or below dispensary prices. So I make this very transparent. Awesome. I don't nickel and dime. Everyone knows that, you know, margins are pretty great in this space, especially if you are vertical like we are. So if you cultivate yourself, I mean, that's, you know, you got to extend those types of those savings to your customers, because you know, whether they realize it or not, you know, that's psychologically, you know, implanting in them that this is a solid company. And again, I'm transparent inside and out of the organization. I don't believe in, like I said, nickel and diming our consumers. We're providing a service, and so we are converting a lot of folks simply because we make it very easy, and I try to make it as simple as possible. So,
Sean, in the chat room, they're getting some questions. Questions that we're seeing is who, what areas are you serving? What regions are you looking to expand to? And then who does cover the delivery expense? I think I know the answer, but that's the couple of questions.
So first of all, we eat the expense. And we also accept credit and debit as well. So that's a big thing, especially during COVID when people, you know, are getting furloughed and the like, you know, people starting to charge for these things. So, and right now we are covering the greater Los Angeles area. So we are as far north as, I would say Santa Clarita Valley, Clarita area. You gotta excuse me. I'm only a year or so here since I took over the company. So I'm trying to get my wits about
me. Where were you living before?
Well, I'm originally from Connecticut, and I moved to Miami. I've been there almost 11 years. I still maintain a residence there. I also live in Puerto Rico. I have a residence there in Old San Juan for the last few years. But let me just get back to that question. I don't want to leave anybody hanging. We're as far north as Santa Clarita, as far south as Long Beach, east over to Venice and you know, Santa Monica area. And as far west, I mean, our east rather, we're knocking on Pasadena, that area, that corridor, that 101, I believe it is. But yeah, I moved to, people say, how did you get into this business? And, you know, I wasn't even an avid consumer or consumption, or I never really consumed. You know, I went right into the Marine Corps after high school. So obviously, you know, and I was a poster child. So anyone that did try to smoke cannabis at that time, I was like, no, you know, taxpayers not paying us for this. You know, we're held to a higher. I was that guy. And I still am that day. I am first and foremost a Marine through and through. So, but after I served during 9/11 and after, you know, all that, I racked up a few degrees. There was a post 9/11 bill that I took probably more advantage of than, you know, I had to get a waiver to extend it and all these things, but I racked up 4 masters on that bill. Wow. And, you know, that's helped tremendously. I'm a huge nerd. You know, in military school, I graduated first in class. So I'm that weird guy. But I got into fitness, huge into fitness. So I moved to Miami. Never been there before, didn't know anyone, didn't have a place to live. I just showed up, you know, 11 years ago, and quickly became one of the premier trainers on the beach. And so when the Benzinga, I told you this, Patrick, I think, when Benzinga conference was in Miami, it was funny because it was held at the Fontainebleau Hotel. So it was about almost 9 years ago, I was actually one of the head trainers at that hotel. Wow. And so, you know, fast
full
forward,
circle, man.
Yeah, fast forward all this time. And, you know, I walked back in there as something different. And even when we had the cocktail hour outside on the terrace, I used to kill people out there for boot camps like every morning. And so I'm like, you know, I'm having a drink right now. And I'm like, wow, this is it's such a crazy thing. But so yeah, I've been there that long. And so in terms of Pineapple Express, though, that we're actually expanding into Puerto Rico. We're poised to be the first delivery service B2C on the island. And that agreement's already in place. Everything is pretty much underway, but it's a timeout because of COVID. And they have a strict lockdowns because of, obviously, it's an island and you're landlocked. So they have to control that spread even more so than we do. So that everything is on hold right now.
Are you still living in Puerto Rico too?
I do have a place in Puerto Rico. Yep.
Yeah, I thought about moving there. The tax thing they have there is unreal.
I mean, right now it's a great time, you know, simply because, you know, they've been hit with a lot, you know, since the hurricane, the earthquakes. So the market is very, very good, actually. Debo said, hey, find me a place over there. Find me a place there. I want to go there.
Is that what brought you there first?
No, I'm half my father's side of that family is all Puerto Rican. So I got a place there.
That's great.
I opened a hostel there. And, when I reunited with my family, opened a hostel about 5 years ago there. And, so then I ended up getting a place as well. I got hit both times by the hurricane too. I got hit three times. I got hit.
Good Lord.
My places in the hurricane, and it came around to Florida and hit me there too.
Dude, you got bad luck.
I mean, geez.
Got good insurance. So
there you go. There you go.
So that's pay your insurance bill.
But Sean, man, listen, one more quick question before we gotta jump. And I don't want the significance of the moment to be lost on anyone who's listening, right? And so is there anything you want to say about just where we are right now, the current climate, what it means for you as an executive, what it means for the company? I'll give you just a quick minute to say some words.
Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, it's definitely a difficult time. You know, I consider my employees, my troops, no different than, you know, I did in the Marine Corps, because it, you know, some people would say, well, that wasn't life and death, but you know, it's with COVID and everything and like this, I could have easily been, you know, George Floyd, and it's very difficult from a veteran standpoint, because, he was murdered on Memorial Day. I mean, if that's no greater disrespect or dishonor to my service or my brothers and sisters that gave their ultimate sacrifice for our American way of life, this isn't what we fought for. It's not. So, and I think it's, you know, it's a responsibility of every corporation, but especially in cannabis, to even more validate ourselves as a bona fide industry, to start doing those corporate things. I know I put out a corporate message. I know a lot of people have seen on LinkedIn and other outlets, you know, regarding this issue. We need to take a stand and actually speak to these things, because we are, you know, we earn revenue off of the same, some of the same communities and people that are discriminated against. So we need to support them as they support us. And sending an internal message to my employees as well shows them also that, you know, you have leadership that is in line with some of the same issues that may affect you. We have a very diverse group of people from every, you know, almost every type of dynamic. And I want them to know that, you know, we're not going to stand for this. You are working for a progressive organization. So I think it's you know, I implore all like cannabis CEOs to, you know, do these things, because I've looked at other platforms and, you know, I haven't seen a lot of messaging, but just more marketing. And I just think it's kind of, you know, a little bit out of touch to do that right now. We got to stop, just stop for a second and address exactly what's going on. And then we, you know, we get back to business. But my people are out there. You know, I have my drivers, I have COVID and potential protests and detours to think about. So I pull those guys back well ahead of, you know, foreseeing any types of curfews that are being laid out, to make sure that they can get home well enough before curfew. And obviously they're getting hazard pay indefinitely until there's a cure for COVID.
Sean,
I don't see any point.
Sean, you're awesome, man. You're just awesome. You're just awesome. Like from moving to, you know, how you're handling what's going on right now with the current environment, you're just awesome. Like we're rooting for you. Anything Benzinga could do, if you need articles about the THC, you know, I don't know, trademark. I saw the Market Watch one. I didn't see you quoted in it. Like if there's anything we can do, let us know. Send Javi or Cannabis News at Benzinga an email. Anything you can do, or Patrick, whatever. We're here for you. You're a beacon. You stand for integrity and love the transparency and love what you're doing. I mean, I
appreciate that, guys. I did teach leadership and entrepreneurship at the collegiate level for 5 years. So this is the same type of stuff that I was pumping out into these future leaders.
And you're delivering it. And we can tell. We wish you were in Michigan
too. That's my only complaint with you is that you're not in Michigan yet. So
we're moving him here.
If August, no, I'm not going there. If August, I will definitely go there to support the Clean Water Initiative for sure. I do want to.
Yes.
I am in touch with Hill Harper's group and trying to help with those efforts as well. That's an atrocity. And I'm sorry, but just one thing. How do we leave the WHO during a pandemic, first of all? Which is, you know, the World Health Organization literally says every human being has a right to clean and fresh water. It's your human right. Meanwhile, in our own backyard, and especially in your guys' backyard, that's not even happening for our own citizens. People need to look at that stuff.
Absolutely, so, man.
I implore also, you know, get involved with community, you know, social responsibility, guys. It's really important for our industry. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure, Sean. Thanks for coming on, man, and we will be in touch.
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
So how cool is that, man? That guy is, he's literally been everywhere, done everything, and he definitely has a good heart. You can tell just by talking to him, you know?
Totally. His passion just rang out. And so that's what I was asking about, you know, where he's living, Puerto Rico to California, Connecticut, and good heart, transparent with the business, good marketing. I mean, I had no idea that he owned THC.com and also the Drake articles that I just read about it. So a lot of stuff there and all these different companies approaching it differently. I mean, the Pineapple Express. I mean, I love the name, first of all.
It's a great name.
It's a great name.
Speaking of doing it differently, our last guest today, and certainly not least, is probably one of my favorite people that I've spoken to in the industry thus far. Her name is Lori Kibbe, and Lori is one of the co-founders and is the current CFO at King's Garden. Now, as she's getting queued up here, I'll tell a little bit more about her. Lori is one of those people, and for those of you who don't know King's Garden is one of the largest California operators, right? And Lori may come on here and correct me and say they are the largest. I'm not quite sure, but definitely somebody who's been on our radar for a long time, ever since we started coverage of this industry, and they've chosen to scale in a different way, right? Anybody who tuned in on June 1st got to hear Lori talk about, you know, why they made the decision to stay private and not go public, right? And I think that's a really interesting conversation right now. So again, as she's coming on, I think, you know, what could be really interesting too is to just have that conversation, right? Is it still advantageous to go public in the current market? Is it not? And as the financial leader of a company, what decisions are you a part of and are you having to make to kind of move that ball forward for the company?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely stuff that needs to be thought about, and is it too much of a headache? And there she is. I see
Hello.
Her.
And Lori, it looks like you're muted. You might just want to unmute briefly.
There we go.
Yep. Yeah.
Hello. I don't know. It looks pretty dark. Thank you.
Hello. Yeah, you've got Jason and Patrick here, Lori. And you are where in California today?
I am in Palm Springs.
Oh, rub it in.
111 degrees today. So,
oh, wow.
It's a hot day here.
That's some serious weather.
All of King's Garden is in the Coachella Valley. So I live here permanently.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Lori, do you want to anybody who's listening right now, do you want to just give just a couple minutes about King's Garden? I know that you have your hands in a couple of different things, which we'll get into, but just maybe a minute or so on King's Garden and sort of what we all need to know about that.
Sure. Well, King's Garden is a cultivator and processor branded company only. We made a choice early on not to be fully vertically integrated. So we focus on growing the best flower, and we really do believe we're the top of the top shelf. We have the King's Garden brand, which is about 50% of what we put out to the market, and then we also bulk sale. You know, we are 170 employees strong. We have 11 locations where we grow, all indoor, about 250,000 square feet. And we are always in the top couple of top selling brands. I would say we're number one on indoor, and we fall, I think, overall, when you include greenhouse and outdoor, we're I think number three currently. Wow. And we're all over California, North, South, you know, both Northern and Southern California.
Wow. And so when it comes to your role there, you're obviously sort of the financial leader and that voice for the company. Give us a sense of just over the years, I would imagine you've been approached by you know, capital leaders, right? I would imagine you've been approached by other company leaders. And, you know, what does that look like? And also, why have you guys made the decision to stay privately held?
Well, first, our capital, what we've brought into the company so far has been only in two rounds. We haven't raised funds in the last 2 years because we're a profitable company and haven't needed to. And we it's all been private funding, so not investment banks or any of these private venture funds. We considered going public at one point in time about 2 years ago. And we really looked at what was going on. First of all, it was a flurry. Everybody was going public. Both my partner, Mike King, and I have finance backgrounds. And we really felt that we would lose control of our value. And we wanted to take a long-term approach to how we structured ourselves. So we looked out and we still believe that ultimately the United States will make it federally legal. It's really about the timing of that, and that we, between now and that point in time, would be able to better control the value, our internal value, our value for going public, or our value for a sale by remaining private. Because once you're public, you have a lot of other concerns than just growing your business, you know, stockholder valuations. So a lot of time that goes into being responsible to that public listing. At one point, we thought we would also sell ourselves, and we have found that it's very tough for people to perform at the value that we command. So we've just decided to stay public, private for right now.
That's
it's been a great decision. I mean, we are a big profitable company. I mean, we've gone from our first year was $500,000 in sales, and we're now on target to do $75-70 million this year. And so we haven't needed to do anything more than just focus on our business.
How many years has it been? You may have said that, but just how many years has
it been? Our first year in revenue was 2016.
Wow.
And you're to that? I mean, how did you grow like that?
Focus on brand. I'd like to take credit, but the truth of the matter is my partner is just the most hard driving individual. He is incredible. So but my job was to put the infrastructure of the company together, and his job, if you were to divide it up, was to build the brand. And so there are three of us. There's Charles Kiley, Mike King, and myself. Charlie is a very experienced grower, and Mike King has the vision and the contacts, and the three of us came together. And I think it was just making sure that we were parallel. We were growing the business. We were growing the best flower. We were putting in place processes to ensure that our flower was always good. And I was responsible for making sure that we had, you know, an HR division and banking and all of the other things that make the business work. So from the beginning, we've had all of that in place, from insurances to structures for how to handle cash to all of the SOPs that allow you to be audited. And we're fully audited since the beginning of our company as well.
Yep. I think that really works when you have three different people doing three different roles and you can really focus on those. But I guess my question is, what makes the brand really grow? I mean, yes, getting your brand out there, but is it getting into more places? What is like the thing that drove revenue from, say, 2 years ago, say it was $40 million to $70 million? Like, is there a certain thing that really is what moves the needle for you guys?
Sure. I think it's understanding who our consumer is. Kings Garden has three or four key elements. It's about family, it's about loyalty, it's about hard work that produces quality. And understanding kind of the image of our brand. Kings Garden has got a specific image. And understanding there our consumer was out there who wanted that and conveying that message. And I think we have a very, very loyal consumer base, hugely loyal consumer base that's allowed us to grow as we enter new markets. We also now have started, you know, social media campaigns and all of the other things that support the brand. And we have an exclusive agreement with Cresco to distribute us here in California. So they also do a very good job. And we
good work company.
Very good company. And we work very closely with them with our brand ambassadors, with promotions. We've just launched a streetwear line. So we have promotions with that that bring people in. Now we're focused on branding and marketing because we made sure that we know how to fulfill if it takes off, which it has taken off, obviously. But so, if you brand it and market it and you're not able to fulfill, you don't have a business.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I think one thing that's always interesting to Jason and I, and certainly is entirely my role at Benzinga, partnerships, right? So you just mentioned Cresco, probably one of the best companies in the industry. And certainly we know Charlie and those folks really well. So when it comes to how a partnership like that formed and sort of why, I mean, I think the why is clear, right? Out of necessity in some cases. But in terms of choosing which partner, in terms of sort of how that partnership came together, is there anything you can tell us about that? I would imagine there's a lot of people in that boat, and obviously a lot of people that should be really jealous of that overall partnership. That's cool.
Yeah, I think they're looking for quality, and
for sure.
And we have proven quality, right? We worked with them before it was Cresco, so when it was River Continuum. We were with them in the early on before the consolidation of the various companies.
Right.
You know, I'd love to say that I would, you know, it's great relationships. We build great relationships. We've worked cooperatively with them. We made sure they had what they needed in regards to samples and, you know, all of the things that they need to be able to market and sell. And also I have to say, you know, some of it's just luck. You're in the right place at the right time and you have a good product and things kind of fall into place easily. So.
I'm a big believer in good things happen to good people, right? And certainly companies that are well positioned and that are at that right place at the right time, you know?
And doing the work, doing that hard work.
Right, and keeping your commitment. Listen, you know, we know who we are and we don't vary from that. We're committed to the who we are as a company and as a brand and as to what we want to deliver. And we think that the future, when we look out into the future, so people are going to be looking for that, and we will maximize our value to our shareholders and to our consumer by doing so. So,
very
and
cool.
We have shareholders to take care of too. You know, we have customers, and we also have shareholders. We're a corporation, and we have to make sure that they will get what they've expected when they put their money with us and gave us their vote of confidence.
Do you have a lot of shareholders?
We do. We have 205.
Got it. So you went and raised money, and was it just like through network or relationships, or how?
All friends and family.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Got it.
So good. Again, back to that, you know, one of our core values is family.
There you go, friends.
Core values are important.
Yeah, they
we
are.
Have core values, and it's certainly something that guides us and in our decision making, and you know how we move the company forward. And clearly, you guys have done the same.
Absolutely. And we have a great team. I mean, the people who work in our company are amazing. We have whole families that work for us. We have a very, very loyal, incredible workforce. We have a process for bringing people through the company, training them at the beginning. We have a process where they start as they get better at an understanding flower, where they can go because we do our own packaging and our own processing in-house. So we have whole families that work for us, which, you know, is great. Again, tied to our core value as well.
Did you say it earlier? How many people are there now?
We have 170 employees.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Are people mostly at home right now or work?
No. You know, we responded very, very quickly when this started happening. In fact, in advance, we expanded our processing. We have a very different way of growing so that we don't have lots of people in our grow facilities. So there's not a lot of problem there. Obviously, we already use gloves and masks and protective gear just because of the quality of product that we didn't want to contaminate. In our processing, because of the social distancing, we had to expand and go to two shifts instead of one. But we never missed a beat. And we hand process everything. We've made a few changes to our smalls and what goes into our pre-rolls in that we now added some mechanized processing, but all of our flour that's branded is hand processed. So we had to make some adjustments about space, but we never missed a beat on that. We were very, very proactive.
That's very smart. Very smart.
Yeah.
So Laurie, I've got time for just one more question. And sure. If it's all right with you, just, you know, anything about where King's Garden is going next from a strategy perspective, or I know, again, you have your hands in a lot of things. I know you're at Entourage as well. So, you know, just maybe tell us a little bit about that. And we really thank you for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. I think for King's Garden, I think it's keep doing what we're doing. We are expanding our manufactured product. We have a target where we'd like to be in 2 years size-wise. We're now on improving our profit margins. And I think our goal is to really just kill the California market, be the best in the biggest market, and be prepared for what the future may hold. And we have ideas about what that is and know that we're positioned to take advantage of those. So I would say that's really where King's Garden is, for sure. And awesome. thank you for mentioning Entourage, which is my CBD company in Colorado,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Next time we can talk about that one.
No, absolutely. We'll have you back on. Laurie, you are a member of our advisory council. We couldn't thank you enough for that. Sean is as well, for those of you that joined us for his talk. And Laurie, thanks. This has been great. And I'm sure we'll connect again.
And congrats on all.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Congrats on all your success.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Jason. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So how cool, man. I mean, for all those that are watching, just think about the depth of knowledge we had, and also the difference in stories that we had today.
And like, you hear like a lot of negative stories right now. And I mean, these companies, I mean, from 500,000 to 75 million, I mean, in three short 4 years. And what it's like we say, if you're going to think anyways, you might as well think big. And, right. And the world's your oyster if you go after it. I mean, those are some serious numbers. And I mean, I wish we had more time, because I really want to dig in how they really went from, you know, 2 million, 4 million to 20 million. That's serious numbers.
Well, pull the common threads too, though, right? Like you're looking at companies who either self-funded or relied on sort of a tight-knit group of friends and family to get started. You look at people who decided not to go public. And like Pineapple, they did decide to go public. And for all those of you watching, I think the ticker's PNPL. But the goal is always the same: process, partnerships, the things that really make a company differentiated are clear. And the story does seem similar across the map.
And brand.
Yes, absolutely. A story. You got to have a story.
Yeah, she was keen on the brand, what they spent a lot of time building that brand. And they're not, you know, and if they're able to be profitable, like she said, they don't need to depend on the markets. So it's interesting. We should do a show, like, I don't know if people are open to doing it, but companies that are kind of struggling, and see what the struggles are, and then see if our community can help or hear those stories. I mean, because it's, you know, everyone can celebrate the great companies these are. But it's also, you know, sometimes I guarantee these companies had hardships or problems. It's sometimes good to be in the real time of that, you know.
And
so maybe there's some sort of show we find some companies that want the community to help or give opinions. I don't know. I mean, these are three awesome entrepreneurs and companies, and more so just good people at a time like this.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, right? And that's, you know, I appreciate everyone indulging me in you know, talking about what's happening in the world right now. I don't think Benzinga is one to shy away from having tough conversations, but regardless of anyone's point of view, anyone's politics, we don't need to get into that. But really, at the end of the day, business is still happening and business is affected by what's happening. So, you know, talking about that, understanding how we're all still going through the day to day, still managing what we need to accomplish, and even in some cases, moving forward. So while this climate is the way it is, you know, we'll be here. We'll be talking about it.
Yes, that's what we're here for. And it's, are we going to every Thursday, Patrick?
This is it, man. Yeah, weekly.
Okay.
Weekly. So you better cancel all your vacations.
Because I know I know we confused some people when we weren't on last week. We got like 16 emails. So we're going every Thursday. Sometimes Alan Broxton will host instead of Patrick or I, where we'll, you know, we'll, it's like we have three people and we'll switch off. But right now it's every Thursday. Tell your friends. And if there's companies you want us to bring on or people or leaders in the space, you name it. We have access to everyone. Just email us at events@benzinga.com, BENZINGA.com. If you want Patrick and I to fight more and give our differing opinions on certain things on why we think cannabis will do this or how the industry will change, let us know. If you want to come up with a segment, like a quick hicks segment where we do three or four quick topics, 30 seconds each, let us know. Like, this is your show. We're here for you guys, not for us. And we want you guys to be able to get access to what we see behind the scenes. That's the idea. So just please, please send an email to events@benzinga.com and Patrick and I will both receive it. And you'll get to hear this show over again on YouTube. And I don't know if it's gonna be a podcast or not, but we should talk to Aaron to make it so people can have access to it wherever they want. Because
that's right. No, that's exactly right, man. And thanks for that. I think moving forward too, if there are any specific topics or executives that you guys would like featured, make sure to put that in the email to events@benzinga. I couldn't echo that enough. I think we're more than happy to go out and get the folks you guys want to hear from. So make sure to let us know.
Yep. Yep. Any closing remarks, Patrick?
Or that's no, it? Just that you look awesome in pink, my friend.
And check out the cannabis.benzinga.com. We may change that URL. Emails at directory@benzinga.com if you have any questions or comments, and we'll be sure to help you. We want to make your companies look awesome and also get you in touch so you can build companies like this, like the Pineapple Expresses, the
Platinum Kings Garden, Platinum Vape, really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the purpose of it. So anyway, thank you guys. And if you want, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason Raznick, RAZNICK.
I mean, if you want.
Yes, it's not that enjoyable, actually. I show some videos of my kids.
There you go. Oh, and shout out to my kid who made the show today. Just a little head walking in the background behind my chair.
She came at a time that you couldn't really stop the flow. Like, I was going to say something, but it was at a time when he was talking that it wasn't the right time to like stop the flow and say, you know.
So, I was going to give her a shout out, but we were having a good conversation. So.
It was at one. Exactly. So
this is fun.
Yes, it's fun. All right. Well, thank you. We'll talk to you soon, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Everyday Hotel. You'll be on the second floor and your other room will be on the 14th.
Wait, we asked for connecting rooms? These are 12 floors apart.
We tried, ma'am, but technically they're only 11 floors apart. We don't have a 13th floor.
We can't be 11 floors away from our kids.
I don't see a problem.
Stuart!
When you want separate rooms, but not that separate, it matters where you stay. Only Hilton offers confirmed connecting rooms at the time of booking. Hilton, for the stay.
Hi, it's Idris Elba here with Booking.com, and I wrote this poem about summer because I love summer. In summer, we do things to feed the soul, and Booking.com knows just how we roll. We love to swim and fish and barbecue. We love to read and nap and have a few. With cabins, resorts, yurts, and vacation homes, it's such a breeze to book. Where shall we roam? I know it needs some work, but thanks for listening. Find your perfect place to stay. Booking.com. Booking. Yeah.